And welcome to Dramatis Interruptus, episode number 26. I have a feeling this episode's going to run a little long, so we're going to get right into it. But before we start the show proper, I've been doing a little work with some other people. I've got a small part in someone else's video. If you're listening to this on YouTube, click the notation. You can check it out right now. Otherwise, just search for YouTube Reacts and hit the one about Devil May Cry. And then go ahead and watch the rest of them, because they're hilarious, really. Now, subject of today's show, Charles Murray. Those of you who haven't heard the name, here's the very, very brief synopsis. He's the co-author of a book called The Bell Curve, which was an absolute doorstop of a book on IQ. It was released back in 1994. It was very popular at the time with American conservatives. It contains some pretty notorious sections on racial intelligence that had already been debunked a decade prior by Stephen Jay Gould, made heavy use of research by proponents of eugenics, was subsequently debunked again by the APA. Now, since then, Murray, despite the fact that he was exposed as a racist, has managed to find steady work, culminating in his latest offering, Coming Apart, The State of White America, 1960 to 2010. Subtle. Now, not long ago, a portion of this book was released to the internet by the publisher, and it was the most interesting section entitled, How Thick is Your Bubble? What's interesting about this section is actually Charles Murray's attempt at a quiz, at a personality index of sorts, to determine how isolated you are from real Americans, from ordinary Americans. Which is interesting, because I've been waiting for many, many years for someone to come up with an elitism test. As often as you hear elitism bandied about in the media, no one's ever done it until now. Anyway, there's been a lot of chatter about this thing. So I figured, why don't we just sit down and take it together, you and I and everyone else listening in. I'm not doing this blind. I actually ran through this test earlier, but I messed up and I recorded it wrong. It's 25 questions, and most of the questions are binary. They're yes or no, or right or wrong, so I figured that was all there was. It turns out it's not, because how you answer the question is often as important as what the answer was. So I'm going to go ahead and do it again and see what my score comes out. As I said, I'll include everything here, so you can follow along if you want, or you can go to the site. I'll have a link up to where you can check out the actual pages and do it yourself if you'd so prefer. So it's 25 questions. You're going to end up having a score that's between 0 and 100 points. All right, let's get into it. First question. Have you ever lived for at least a year in an American neighborhood in which the majority of your neighbors do not have college degrees? Well, shit, I don't know. I really don't. You know, I suppose you can go off jobs, but, you know, these days, you know, you've got master's degree holders working retail, so that doesn't mean much. I'm going to go ahead and mark myself down as 0 because I think this is probably supposed to be one of those questions where you just know or you don't. If you think otherwise, what you're looking at in here is if you said yes, then that's 4 points. And then for every 5 years you lived in one of these neighborhoods, you add in one more point to a total of 7. So 7 points total. All right. Question 2. Did you grow up in a family in which the chief breadwinner was not in a managerial job or a high-prestige profession? And in case you're wondering, he defines high-prestige profession as attorney, physician, dentist, architect, engineer, scientist, or college professor. Interesting set of those, because there's some on those that I'm not sure are so high-prestige anymore, but whatever. Also, some I think he left out. I think it's kind of funny that if your father was a famous author, it wouldn't count. Creative types don't really factor in here. I guess he assumes you can't make a living doing that anymore. Go figure. But yeah, it comes out, you get 4 points if you answered yes, and 3 bonus points if the chief breadwinner was what you would call blue collar. I didn't get any. All right. Hopefully now you're starting to fall into a groove on what Murray's mindset's going to be for most of this, but it will change up a little bit later. Number 3. Okay, here's where I get a chance to get some points back. Have you ever lived for at least a year in an American community under 50,000 population that is not a part of a metropolitan area and is not where you went to college? Well, obviously I did. In fact, here's how many points I get. You get 5 points for saying yes, then you get another point if the place was under 25,000 people, and 7 if it was under 10,000 people. Well, my hometown never went over 7,000 people, so 7 points for me. I know it's boring right now. I think Murray's kind of easing into it before he gets to the fun stuff. In fact, by his own admission, that's what he's doing. To quote him from a little bit farther up, the questions you should take most seriously are the opening ones that ask about the places you've lived and the variation conditions of life you've experienced. When I move to informational questions about sports, popular culture, and some American institutions, you're free to complain that some of them aren't fair. Well, I'm going to reveal a little later that that's not quite right. The whole thing about the first few questions being the most serious, but I'll get to that later. Okay, next question. Question 4. Have you ever lived for at least a year in the United States as a family income that was close to or below the poverty line? That's family income, and he says college doesn't count, so fair enough, I guess. You get, let's see, what was that? 5 points if yes, and another 2 points if you experienced poverty as a child and as an adult. Well, no points for me there. Let's jump down to 5. Oh, this is where it starts to get interesting. Have you ever walked on a factory floor? That's a weird way of putting it, but You get 2 points if you've ever been in a factory. You get another 2 points if you regularly go to a factory. And you get yet another 2 points if you work in a factory for a total of 6. Now, have I ever been in a factory? I don't know. Does a grain elevator count? That's factory of sorts. You know, I was actually thinking about it as I prepared this. If you've ever met someone who wants, especially someone of a type that would be taking this test, who wants to talk about their childhood in a small town in the Midwest, ask them about grain elevators. I'm convinced no one outside the Midwest knows what a grain elevator is, whereas everyone in the Midwest does. I mean, if you've ever driven cross-country across Kansas, Nebraska, or Oklahoma, you know, every little town has one. They're the tallest thing in any city you find them in. You can use them to navigate, but whatever. That's my opinion. I'm going to say that's not going to count, so 0 points for me. I'm not doing very well, am I? Well, maybe I can pick it up a little later. And by the way, the reason for the awkward questioning is more or less this is Charles Murray just sticking his personal experience because he once walked into a factory. He found it fascinating. So he wanted to give people some points if they'd just been in one. You know, Murray really tries to make this seem all scientific and all statistical, but every once in a while he just brazenly inserts his opinion into it, which is pretty much what he did in the bell curve, actually. Moving on, though. Question 6. Okay, this one's interesting. Have you ever held a job that caused something to hurt at the end of the day? That would be a part of your body, because some of the people I gave this test to didn't seem to be very clear on what that was. So have you ever had a job that made a part of your body hurt at the end of the day? Now, I would have said no, but wait for a second. That's 3 points if you answered yes, 2 if the job lasted longer than 1 summer, and a bonus point if you're talking about a job that makes you ache all over. But here's what's interesting. I would have said no, but it turns out he's going to include any job where you have to stand for long periods of time that gives you sore feet. That seems like a cop-out. I mean, that's really not the same thing, but if he's going to give me points for it, I mean, I've certainly had, you know, teaching jobs where I'm on my feet 10 hours a day, so certainly I guess 3 points for that, and then 5 points for it lasting longer than a summer, which seems kind of silly, but okay, fine. His rules. I understand, I guess he's just wanting to light off white-collar work. I guess that's kind of a way to do it, so fair enough. Here's where it starts to get a little bit different. Question 7. Have you ever had a close friend who was an evangelical Christian? Have you ever had a close friend who was an evangelical Christian? Well, as you've seen, we're out of the your personal hard scrabble life section, and we're into the goofy stuff, and this is really just the start. It gets worse and worse as we go down the line. Now, okay, the scoring for this is 2 if you answer yes, and then 4 if you're an evangelical Christian. Well, that's interesting. I was kind of curious as to why evangelical Christian? Then he had some stats below here that was interesting. For the record, I'm going to mark 0, because Lord knows there were tons of evangelicals in my tiny-ass little town, but I didn't hang out with them. You know, they didn't want to hang out with anyone. You know, in my experience, evangelicals are their own subculture. They really only hang out with their own. I know that seems weird when their purpose is evangelizing, but it's the truth. It's the way it is. Goes through here describing what evangelical Christians are. Then he has a Pew Forum study, which suggests 26.3% of respondents are evangelicals. Now, there's no way. Although, here's the weasel word to get out of this. And I actually looked this up to find out if this was true, and I'll have the link up on the site if you're curious about it, too. It says here 26.3% of the respondents said they were affiliated with evangelical Protestant churches. Here's why that's interesting. The first thing I thought of this is, oh, I get it. They're including Baptists. Baptist is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. And a lot of Baptists are evangelicals. So I kind of suspected that they were just calling the entire Baptist community an evangelical church. And I wasn't that far off. When I looked it up, of the 16 or so percent of people who identify as Baptist, they put almost 11% under evangelicals. Basically, almost all white Baptists were classified as evangelicals, which is interesting to me. But why evangelicals? You know, up until then, the whole point was to show how you're out of touch with the working man. But what does even evangelism have to do with that? Why evangelicals? If it's supposed to be a bubble, why not Mormons? I mean, I knew tons of Mormons growing up. I had tons of Mormon friends. We played Dungeons and Dragons together. It was awesome. Why not Mormons? Why not any other group? Why not Jews? Okay, I don't have any proof Charles Murray's an anti-Semite, but, you know, once you've written hundreds of pages on how blacks are mentally inferior, is it really that huge a step? But anyway, you know, why not any other religious group? Why just evangelicals? Because that's his priority, I guess. Okay, moving on to question 8. Do you have a close friend with whom you have strong and wide-ranging political disagreements? 2 points if you have a friend, 4 points if you have more than one friend. But he specifies this has to be because you're from a different political background. It can't be because you're arguing with a friend who's not as radical as you are. Well, I guess I'll give myself 2 points for that, because I've certainly been friends with people I did not agree with, excuse me. Okay, number 9. This one's interesting. Have you ever had a close friend who could seldom get better than C's in high school, even if he or she tried hard? I don't know. Do a lot of you ask your friends about their grades? Do a lot of you do that? Because I didn't. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and mark down yes. It's 4 points if you said yes, because I knew a couple people who dropped out, and I'm assuming those people probably didn't get much better than C's, but the reason this is in here is it's because, and I'm not going to read this to you, there's this huge chunk of text after this with Murray going on about IQ, of course. He's still obsessed with it. He's still obsessed with proving that there's this intellectual elite, and this seems to be part of it, and on about IQ and all that, which is the stuff that was largely debunked in the first book. It wasn't just the race stuff, pretty much the whole thing. But whatever, you know, by the way, he thinks you might be lying. If you answered yes to this question instead, you need to ask yourself if you fudged about the definition of close friend. We hate to think that we're such snobs, we've concerned only with people as smart as we are. Yeah, that's kind of Murray's attempt at humor, and it's going to be popping up a little bit later, so get used to it. Okay, question 10. During the last month, have you voluntarily hung out with people who were smoking cigarettes? And presumably this includes if you were smoking. So that's 3 points for yes. 3 points if you shared the company of someone who was smoking a cigarette. Damn, Chucky. And he goes into this whole thing about how the opinions about smoking are stratified by class. Although, of course, he didn't give any stats for this one. This is kind of the first example of him, I think, just going off the gut. Because, seriously, what, rich people never run into anyone who's smoking? I guess they mean it doesn't count if you're on the street. In fact, I think it's in there somewhere. I'm sorry, I read through this earlier, but damned if I'm reading anything this man's written more than once. Okay, 11. Okay, 11's about military insignias, and I didn't get any of these right, but for the purpose of those of you who might be doing this at home, I'm going to go ahead and flash up images of the 5 insignias that he's posted. You can pause it right now. Write down what they are. Here are the answers, all right? You get 1 point for each that you got right, 5 points total. Okay. Question 12 has 2 options, and they appear to be gender segregated. I guess this is an attempt to make the test gender neutral by splitting up this one question. This didn't happen anywhere else. But okay, I'll go ahead and give you both. I'll start with what I assume is supposed to be the man's question. Who is Jimmy Johnson? Yeah, and this is a question. You need to tell me, who is Jimmy Johnson? Now, I know who Jimmy Johnson is. He's a car driver. He's a stock car racer, NASCAR, that kind of thing. I knew that. It's 3 points if you got that, by the way. If you guessed he was a coach, then you get 1 point. I'm supposed to give you 1 point. You know, it's like getting half credit for a partial answer. Interesting about that, when you actually, I don't follow NASCAR at all, not even remotely. I think the only reason I know who Jimmy Johnson is because anytime a conservative is reaching for someone to be like the thing the elitists wouldn't know about, they always go to Jimmy Johnson. That's the only reason I'd know. And the woman's question, which is oddly enough it's not a question, it's just another survey type thing, was, have you ever purchased Avon products? And again, 3 points for a yes. Avon products. Question 13, have you ever purchased a pickup truck? Well, no, so I don't get any points for that. But if you said yes, you get 2 points. That's 2 points for buying a pickup truck. And by the way, here's another of Charles Murray's wit and wisdom. Occasionally, members of the new upper class buy one for fun or because they need one at their summer place in Montana. Okay, question 14. During the last year, have you ever purchased domestic mass-market beer to stock your own fridge? And by the way, he specifies that's Budweiser, Coors, Miller, or Busch, nothing else. Now, I get no points for that, but I get no points for that because I don't drink beer. In fact, that's an interesting thing about this particular one. You know, it's obviously going on about the elitists and their fancy beers. Well, what if you don't drink beer? Or even better yet, what if you don't drink? What if you don't drink alcohol at all? Well, you lose out in the 2 points. That is 2 points, by the way. It's 2 points if you've... To stock your fridge, by the way. I guess he wants to... this is if you have a choice. This isn't like if you're at a restaurant and they don't have anything else. Then that wouldn't count. But it's 2 points if you put it in your fridge. Okay, 15. During the last 5 years, have you or your spouse gone fishing? You or your spouse. And it's... I believe that is... Okay, 1 point for yes, and another point if you or your spouse go fishing more than once a year. So 2 points total. This is where it starts to get interesting. Up until now, most of the questions he's been asking about the culture are because a majority of Americans do this. Well, by his own admission, a majority of Americans don't go fishing. A lot of Americans go fishing, but a majority don't. So I'm not sure how exactly this factors in. But yes, apparently if you don't go fishing on a regular basis, you're out of touch. Now, I went fishing when I was a kid, but certainly not in the last 5 years. So once again, no points for me. Question 16. This is a good one. How many times in the last year have you eaten at one of the following restaurant chains? Applebee's, Waffle House, Denny's, IHOP, Chili's, Outback Steakhouse, Ruby Tuesdays, TGI Fridays, or the Ponderosa Steakhouse? That's, you get 1 point for each time you've eaten at any of these places to a total of 4. Now, I get no points here. I actually have not, the only one of these places, you know, Applebee's, Chili's, I have in the past, but not recently. Now, although I'm going to say something else about this, you know, it goes in the commentary that he used these and not the fast food places, because even the upper class acknowledges the need of fast food, but they wouldn't dare go into one of these mid-range eateries. Well, here's the trick. The reason I haven't eaten in an Applebee's or Chili's or anything like that in years is because there isn't one where I live. You know, those are not places that get built in small towns. If you go to legitimate small towns, not like some guy from New York goes to a city of 100,000 people and calls it a small town, not like that, but a legitimate small town, you're not going to see chains like that. Now, you know, the place where I grew up actually had a pretty diverse selection of food. But all of those places, you know, it was fast food, which was tons of fast food places because we had a major highway running through that was a major trucking line, so a lot of those and hotels and other places like that. As far as the more upper class ones, they were all locally owned. You can't get one of these places to build a place like that in a small town. They almost never do it. The other interesting thing about this, by the way, is you might notice that he only put down 9. He did not put down the top 10 chains. He put down 9 of the top 10 chains. In case you're wondering, he left out Chipotle. And you might wonder why this is. He actually puts it in, and basically he left that Chipotle because he's decided, again, he just decided that Chipotle is too elitist. I'm not joking. Here's the quote. One of the top 10 is Chipotle Mexican Grill, which is the casual dining genre of restaurants as Whole Foods is to grocery stores. Oh, that's great. That's very scientific. You just up and fucking decide that that doesn't count. Oh, fun. Okay, this next one. I love this next one. 17. In secondary school, that would be high school. I don't know why you call it secondary school. Like, this would be, you know, be applied to people outside the United States, but whatever. In high school, did you letter in anything? Now, at first I was fully prepared to mark this down as nothing, because Lord knows I didn't play sports. But, you know, then I was digging through my closet a few days ago, and I found out I actually did. I lettered in debate. I didn't know you could letter in debate, but apparently you could, and I lettered in debate. So I was all ready to type down the 2 points you get for this. And then I look at the answer. Score 2 points if you got high school varsity letter, except for debate. Fuck you, Chucky. Yeah. If the letter was in debate or chess club, you don't get the points. But then he throws in that I ended up getting the 2 points anyway, because he also says you get 2 points if you participated in band or cheer squad, and I was in band, so there's that. But that's great. Here's his reasoning for that, by the way. The stereotype of the overeducated elitist snob as a teenager is someone who either went to a private school where team sports were not a big deal. What private school has this guy gone to where team sports aren't a big deal? They're a bigger deal in a lot of these private schools. Or went to a public school where he held himself aloof from the team sports and collateral activities that he saw as an unimportant, they're an important part of the culture of public high schools. That's apparently the only reason he can imagine. Apparently every boy wants to be in sports and every girl wants to be a cheerleader. And if you're not, it's because you're an elitist. Now, yeah, that's the reason I wasn't in sports in high school. It had nothing to do with the fact that I was shorter than average, that I was in horrible shape, and that, generally speaking, athletes didn't care for me. You know, I did team sports when I was a kid, and I stopped doing because I sucked at them. Constantly letting my own team down. I mean, I played soccer for 2 years, and the best I ever did was I stopped the ball with my face. You'll excuse me if I didn't particularly feel like wanting to do that again. Not to mention it would cut into my valuable video game time, which was very important to me in high school. Speaking of which, that's going to bring us up later to some of the things he left out. But I'd just like to note for a second, from what I've, you know, heard, you know, surveys have suggested that 60-70% of Americans have played a video game in the last year. Now, a lot of those, that's going to be stuff like Farmville or Flash games or online gambling or stuff like that. But nevertheless, why isn't that in here? That's a shitload more people than went fishing. Why is that not part of normal America? But whatever, we'll get to that again in a bit. One last thing, though. Okay, athletics, important part of high school life. You didn't participate. You're taking points off because I'm an outsider? Fuck off, dick nose. I'm not even sure why this, you know, this is one of the few questions that he actually asked that's about something other than adult life, which is unusual. But let's just go on. I don't want to harp on that one short little question all day, as ridiculous as it is. 18. Have you ever attended a meeting of the Kiwanis Club or Rotary Club or a meeting at a union hall? Attended? I gave a speech at Rotary, motherfucker. And by the way, if you have attended, you get 2 points. I do not get an extra 2 points for giving a speech at one of these events. And if you are a member of one of these groups, or if you're ahead of your local union, no extra points either. If you've been to one, 2 points. Stuff like that makes me wonder if someone wasn't designed this, if Murray wasn't designed this so he'd get a higher score than he deserved, and he figured, well, I did go to that one Kiwanis Club meeting 23 years ago. 2 points for me. That's fantastic. 19. Have you ever participated in a parade not involving global warming, a war protest, or gay rights? Subtle, Charles. Subtle. Anti-globalism, pro-choice. Not really, though. I did mark yes on this because, you know, years and years back, I was involved in the homecoming parade, which, as Charles Murray tells us, is a big deal in small-town America. But I find it interesting he couldn't just say a gathering for a cause. He couldn't just say a protest. He had to name these three specific things. And I'll tell you exactly why. He wants to be careful to only throw in, you know, those silly liberals. He doesn't want to offend his conservative constituency. So he's not going to throw in, say, you know, a pro-life rally, even though that wouldn't be any different. Even though, again, he's weirdly enough specific about that, just being those three. So technically, again, if you've been to an, you know, anti-globalization rally, you're cool. And by the way, that's 2 points if you got it right. Okay. 20. Okay, this is where it starts to break down a little bit. Since leaving school, have you ever worn a uniform? Now, you get 1 point base if that's yes. You get another point if it was for your job, and you get another point if it was for the military. Now, you might be thinking, that's 3 points, and this only goes to 2 points maximum. I know. And apparently, he didn't notice this. If you actually read what he said, 2 points maximum, score one for yes, a bonus point if you did so as part of your job, and a third point if it was while you served in the armed forces. So yes, he says out of two, but it's actually out of three. I don't know where the mistake lies, if the mistake lies in saying 2 points, or if the mistake lied in accidentally giving away three. For the purposes of this, if you wore a uniform in the military, that's your job as well, really, so go ahead and give yourself 3 points. I doubt anyone's going to ace this thing, so I doubt you're going to go up over 100. Okay, what's next? Okay, 21. Have you ever ridden on a long-distance bus or hitchhiked for a trip of 50 miles or more? Hitchhiking? Really? Well, I guess it's not aimed at any specific age, but shit, hitchhiking, really. Anyway, I know that this probably isn't what he had in mind, but fuck it, it's true. When I used to work in Jilin Province, there was a school I worked for that was way out in the country. It was this little farming village that was miles and miles away. And yes, I did take a bus. I took a bus several times a week. I know that's not what he's thinking. He's thinking for a vacation, but he didn't fucking say vacation, okay? I've mingled with a lower class, okay? It might not have been the American lower class, but it was a lower class, so I'm giving myself a point for that. Now, as we approach the end of the test, we're going to get into the really inconsequential stuff. And a lot of this stuff involves some lists, so you might want to be prepared to pause for this one if you're taking this at home. Okay, 22. Which of the following movies have you seen? Iron Man 2, Inception, Despicable Me, Tron Legacy, True Grit, Clash of the Titans, Grown Ups, Little Fockers, The King's Speech, or Shutter Island. You get 1 point per movie to a maximum of 4, and I haven't seen any of those. I really don't have a comment to say about this. His reasoning is these are the top grossing films of 2010 that were not principally directed at children or teens. Despicable Me wasn't directed at children? Well, whatever. 23. I'm sure you can guess where this is going. During the 2009-10 television season, which presumably this book was written then, it's written a year ago, fantastic. How many of the following series did you watch regularly? American Idol, Undercover Boss, The Big Bang Theory, Grey's Anatomy, Lost, House, Desperate Housewives, 2.5 Men, The Office, or Survivor? And once again, it's 1 point per show, total of 4 points, and I didn't watch any of those, so once again, I'm losing points for being out of touch with the common man. Okay, 24. Have you ever watched a full episode, he found that important enough to mention, all the way through, a full episode of Oprah, Dr. Phil, or Judge Judy? And first of all, I can't believe Judge Judy's still on the air. But second of all, as a matter of fact, I've watched, the scoring for this is one, it's a total of 4, it's 1 point if you've ever watched them, and an additional point if you watched any one of them regularly. And, I have watched Judge Judy all the way through, back when I found court shows to be fascinating, even the dumb ones, and, you know, thinking back at it, I'm sure I've seen a full episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show, so I'm going to go ahead and give myself 2 points for that. And let's move on to the final question. What does the name Branson mean to you? What does the name Branson mean to you? Well, fantastic. Well, what does Branson mean to me? Well, it's a city. It's a city that's considered very important in the country western category, and that's what they were looking for. If you knew that Branson was a city, if you knew that it was the a city in Missouri that is the mecca, or one of the meccas for country western fans, give yourself 2 points. If you've ever been to this town, give yourself another 2 points. I was kind of surprised it took them this long to work music into this thing. For that matter, why it's country western, I guess his excuse is a lot of people go to Branson. Well, that's true, a lot of people do go to Branson. But country western's hardly the most popular genre of music. It isn't even the most popular genre of music where I lived as a kid. Even by that point, other stuff was starting to take over. I guess maybe he couldn't decide if bubblegum pop was elitist or not elitist, so he went with country, whatever. What about rap, says I? You cannot very well say that hip-hop is elitist, but whatever, okay. Test is over, okay. So you should now be looking at a number that's between 0 and 100, and mine's 31. And I suppose, you know, tradition with these kind of tests is at the end you get your number, and then I tell you what that number means. Well, guess what? Number's meaningless. Yeah, I just wasted a lot of your time. Now, it's not completely meaningless. He has a thing at the end that has the ranges, and you put your number in the range, and it tells you, you know, which of these categories you're in, if you're an elitist or if you're salt of the earth. But here's the thing. The ranges overlap. Here are the ranges. 48 to 99, 42 to 100, 11 to 80, 0 to 43, and 0 to 20. Well, what fucking good are these ranges, then? I mean, come on. Mine's 31. I guess you're supposed to look at the typical score. Typical being something he recently made up, because I'm guessing Charles Murray didn't give this test to thousands of people in advance to get these things accurately. And the closest I've come to is the middle one, which is a first-generation upper-middle-class person with middle-class parents. Okay, I don't know that that's accurate, but the thing is, as far as I can tell, you know, that's kind of the only range mine would fit in. But a couple things about this. First of all, a lot of people have been taking this test and posting their results online. The results are hilarious. Like a T-Bog, who was kind of the blogger who I first saw this, comes from a working-class background and managed to score 21. He scored lower than me. And the reason is, it was mostly these social element questions. And I'm actually going to mention earlier what that thing about having to spend more time on the ones at the beginning, because those are the important ones. Here's why that's bullshit. The first six questions, the ones that concern themselves with your background, had scores totaling to 40 points, so they weren't actually a majority of the test. It wasn't one of these things where, like, the important questions are the majority and the rest of them are just kind of fine-tuning. No. Here's where that gets really silly. The questions about personal tastes. Now, I actually add these up. Questions about personal tastes are worth 27 points, unless you're a woman, because the Avon question makes it 30, but let's just say 27 to go with the lower number. There's another 15 points worth of questions that are based solely on who your friends are. Now, if you know, add that up, that's 42 points based on personal decisions, personal preferences, personal tastes. That means you score more points on this test based on things like what kind of movies you like and what kind of beer you drink than you did on your actual background. And that's what happened with T-Bog, is that, yeah, I grew up in a working-class background, got points for that, and then lost points for everything else, because in his infinite wisdom, Charles Murray decided that his tastes weren't working-class enough. They were too elitist. But here's the other thing. Now, you know, about these numbers not being anything, I suspect that these numbers are meant to be like an index, an elitism index. And, you know, if you've taken Statue of Liberty, an index is a number that doesn't mean anything on its own, but it tells you something relative to other numbers. Like, you'd have, like, an income inequality index, which shows you how unequal every country's, the inequality between the upper class and the lower class in each country. And, like, the lowest in the world is, it's one of the North European states, like 25, and then it goes up to the 50s. And those numbers by themselves don't mean any, but you can compare them and you can see, you know, who the United States beats out going either direction. But seriously, this isn't Zogby International here. We're not going for serious information. This isn't going into the CIA World Fact Book. You know, it's a goofy little test. And the point of this goofy little test is to get a result. That's the way they work. You take the goofy little test, and it gives you a goofy little result, and then you share it with your friends. An index score doesn't mean shit in this context. I mean, you know, he makes a big deal about how he's gathering information, but obviously, it's not like people are mailing this shit into him. It's not like, you know, he's got people sending him emails with their scores in them. It's not like he'd even know they're honest. They could be lying, which doesn't matter because he's not doing it. I mean, but therein lies the problem. Since he's not actually gathering anything, this test only matters to me. It matters to me, it matters to you, it matters to the taker. So there needs to be a fucking result. Give me the result, Chucky. You're claiming this says something about me. You're saying that this makes me sort of a mid-level elitist, I guess. Again, though, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the average person would get. You know, based on the scores I've seen online, 31 seems pretty average. But I don't know what that means by itself. Anyway, in conclusion about this test, I'm gonna go ahead and steal someone else's words. Okay? I'm gonna steal Roy Droso, who's another blogger who took this, and got a much higher score. He got a 63, which puts him closer to a first-generation middle-class person with working-class parents and average television and movie-going habits. Now, here's what he had to say about this little exam. Okay, noting that according to Murray, this is supposed to reveal something even if it doesn't apply to you. This sounds like an invitation to consider myself possessed of special knowledge and thus prepared for the lower class reclamation work Murray had in mind, but this wisdom might also prepare me to exploit the shit out of my former class comrades by appealing to their tastes and prejudices with an ad campaign or political candidate or some other such wallet-extracting device. Richard Nixon and Jimmy Swaggart would have scored very high on this test, which is really what I think he's after. He and his adherents aren't interested in saving America, but in saving themselves. Conservatives are convinced, and always trying to convince others, that liberals are all sissies who have soft hands and never drink Bud, and thus are out of step with America. Thus, liberals are presumed to be ignorant of, and thus despise, real Americans. And when Obama tries to spread a little of the nation's wealth among them, it cannot help be to help them at a time of great need, because he's not one of them. And why, a conservative reason, would anyone help someone who is not one of their kind? So it must be due to his Kenyan, nanny-colonial, socialist, whatchamacallit. It must have occurred to some conservatives, though, that they themselves don't have the common touch. Right now, they're fighting over whether to nominate a rich asset stripper or a college professor slash lobbyist for presidency. And they don't think it has anything to do with their ruinous policies, which seem designed to make life harder for the working people they're hoping to woo. So they're interested in this test and trying to figure out how to ace it by using Murray's Cliff Notes. I can imagine David Brooks crying, "Oh, I've got this! I've been to Applebee's! For a general consulting fee, I will take part in this project!" They think if they can get the Branson and Budweiser thing down, they can go among the rabble and not get laughed off the face of the earth. In conclusion, elitism is not about what you eat. It's not about what you drink. It's not about what you watch or where you go on vacation. It's about attitude. If you think you're better than someone else, then you're elitist. Doesn't matter why you think you're better than someone else. That's the marker of elitism. And the best way to find out that is not to analyze someone's shopping list. It's to analyze their actions. Actions count. Oh, and here's one more little thing from this passage I just now noticed. Quoting Murray. "Some of the questions are ones that whites will get right more often than minorities." Well, it's a good thing he threw that in for all of his black readers. Yeah, I don't even have a joke for that. You can make your own joke. "Note, however, that had I included questions that would be more easily answered by minorities and working-class urban neighborhoods, your score would probably be even worse." Charles Murray assuaging a white populace that it's okay to ignore black people? I never thought I'd see the day.